So now, Alan, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can. Thanks for taking the time
I'm
to be
so
here today.
Sorry. I'm already using a new headset, and I was like, what does this silver button do? And apparently it disconnects you completely. So I'm so sorry about that, and I didn't have a number to call back. So I'm sorry.
Oh, technology. Don't you love it?
Silver
so anyway,
disconnects. Now I know.
Technology is supposed to make our life easier. I'm doing whole shows these days, Alan, about technology because there are more issues coming up all the time about technology. But at least we have you on the phone, and I'm really glad you're there to talk about your book, The Manly Art of Raising a Daughter. And I've been sharing with listeners, you might have heard part of it, about the man who called in and heard another guest talking about this type of dynamic relationship in the family and how you build on it. And he said, I'm really glad other men are going to benefit from this conversation, but it's too late for me, I'm afraid. And fortunately, she jumped on that and said, no, it's not. It's not too late for you. You know, Alan, we just played a miracle moment here in the pledge drive. And I don't know how many of our guests, our listeners, I mean, heard that across the country. But for those of you who did, it was beautiful. It was a miracle moment of, again, somebody who was worried about losing a father, losing that relationship with his daughter and the sacraments, and the daughter left the church and all that, and he just really wanted her back in the church and receiving the sacraments. Talk about that and what made you. You've raised three daughters. Alan, what made you write this book in the first place, that you saw a need for a book titled The Manly Art of Raising a Daughter, before we get into the contents?
I really believe that men have forgotten how to be men, and that when women think of a man being the head of the family, a lot of times they think of, no, not in my house. That's not going to happen in my house because I'm not going to be oppressed. But if your only time that you're exposed to true leadership, true godly leadership, is by being oppressed, then you're not really exposed to true godly leadership. And so the reason I wrote this book was, you know, like I heard you saying earlier, you know, the toxic masculinity and that's kind of thrown around. And you know, I don't necessarily feel that the need to get on a soapbox on the corner with a megaphone and say, you know, I'm not ashamed of being a man and I'm not toxic. I don't feel the need to do that. I feel more the need to just kind of live my life by example and kind of show other men that, yes, there's going to be temptation. There's going to be sexual temptation. There's going to be a temptation to work too hard. There's going to be all kinds of temptation, but we need to stay at our post. We don't go away from our post, from our duties to God and to our family, and we struggle through those temptations. And I have three daughters that I want someday to find a man who is like the man I am today because of God, not the man that, you know, the boy that I was growing up.
And you certainly learned honor and duty, responsibility and leadership by being a veteran in the U.S. Army. I know our military service is to a person. Every time I meet one or encounter one in the airport, any man or woman in the U.S. services always has that sense of duty and that sense of honor. And they always seem to be a little shy, Alan, whenever I go out of my way to cross over to their path and say, excuse me, thank you for your service. And it's almost like, well, thank you for the thank you. I mean, it's such an honorable thing. And I know that teaches leadership and it teaches obedience and it teaches honor, duty, valor, all of that. Who hears the word valor anymore? So in your book, The Manly Art of Raising a Daughter, among other things, people will learn in this. Men will learn from it, but women will as well. Because women, we need to help in our society be voices for this and bring men back from the margins where they've been shunted off to the role of raising families and their role of leadership in the families. But with daughters, it's really rough out there today. I know some men, Alan, in the checkout line at stores with young daughters will literally turn some magazines around the opposite way because of what's on the cover to protect their daughters, or they'll speak to the store manager. It's a rough culture out there, and your book addresses that, doesn't it? About social media, about relationships your daughter may have, and so forth. That's really important in the culture we have today. It's a pretty toxic culture.
It is. I don't personally believe you can hide your kids from everything. I mean, yes, it would be nice to put them, you know, in the Pope Mobile and drive them everywhere, but it's not the case. I mean, they're going to see things with or without you. They're going to be exposed to things. I want to have the type of relationship with my daughters, and I do, where if I see a magazine that has a you know, something on it about a man cheating on his wife and having kids and I mean that aren't his, and I mean all kinds of stuff, I'd rather have a conversation with her about it than complain to the store manager or then turn the magazine around. Because, you know, when you try to keep something from your kids, when you're not around, I mean, that you don't want them to go look for it, you know? So I always absolutely. Bring those things up. I ask the questions. I'm like, what do you think about that? I mean, I see you That's looking good. At that title on you know, on the Inquirer. What do you think about that? You know, or how do you, like a girl will walk by, you know, a couple teenage girls will walk by hardly wearing anything, you know, if we're at the mall. And, you know, we do judge others' actions. We do judge others' choices. I'm not judging them, you know, for condemnation to say you're going to heaven or hell, but I do have to judge people's choices. And so I've taught my daughters to do that. Look, is she making a good choice? I'm not saying is she a good person, but is that girl making a mm-hmm. good choice mm-hmm. by, you know, attracting the attention she's attracting? So I never try to hide the world from them. I want to experience it with them and be there with them to, you know, to walk them through it.
Oh, that's so well said, and that's so well put. And the contents of this book, folks, is just a lot more of the same. Wisdom, wise advice for you, for men and for families in general. Mm-hmm. The Manly Art of Raising a Daughter. The author, Alan Migliorato, is my guest. And we're going to be talking. He's going to tell you why it's important to know your daughter's friends, how you do that. How do you repair a damaged relationship with your daughter and even your wife for men? He's going to tell you that as well. Boy, you got to hear that. How to teach your daughter to put God first in her life. And in fact, the three things you must know about dealing with your daughter's boyfriend, the five signs your daughter is addicted to social media and what to do about it, the seven things you must do to be a manly man. Well, Alan, we've only got so much time, so we'll start fitting in what we can today among those chapters of your book. But we will do that, and that'll be coming up next. Right now, we need to go to a miracle moment.
Go in depth. Take a closer look. Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm Sheila Logminas. My guest is Alan Migliorato. He has raised three daughters and is a veteran of the U.S. Army, so he has those great leadership training skills and honor and duty and dignity, and he's written a book, The Manly Art of Raising a Daughter. He's got a lot of advice for you men and for families in general, and Alan, let's go for it, because we want to cover as much as we can. One thing I want you to answer right now is how to repair a damaged relationship with your daughter. And in the book, you say even your wife. You know, some of you heard that miracle moment a little bit ago about a man who felt that was lost, or the daughter left the church and he really wanted to repair that relationship. I've had that call on my show from a man before. Alan, what would you tell men about repairing their relationship with damaged relationship with their daughter?
As men, we don't like to do even ask directions. We like to kind of figure everything out on our own.
True. Right?
I mean, you've seen men act this way. The reason this is, it comes down to not being humble, and the opposite of being humble is prideful. So the underlying sin here, the underlying problem that a lot of men have is pride. And it's not just with men, but men have this, you know, this machismo, I'm not going to say I'm sorry, I'm right, she's wrong. Okay, let's move past that. Let's move past that with God's love. Do you want a relationship with your daughter? Do you wish everything could be fixed? It's time to listen. It's time to apologize if you've done something wrong, and it's time to listen again. The one thing I think that men fail to do in marriage and with raising families is they really don't listen. You know, I'm from an Italian family, and you know, my dad was a professional boxer, and I'm an only child, and you know, it was my dad's way, you know, and then my mom would have her way, but you really don't have your way as a kid. Like, nobody really listens. And so, you know, my mom and dad did a great job of that as I got older. But, you know, we don't do that all the time. We don't listen to what our kids have to say. It doesn't mean agreeing, but it means listening. So sometimes you can agree to disagree. But I say if you have a failing relationship with your daughter, have a heart-to-heart with her. Swallow your pride. Get past it. You know, my father died when I was in high school, and there were things that I wanted to say to my father that – I mean, I never really got the chance to say, you know, and not any huge regrets. Just, I mean, there's always something extra that you wish you could say to your family members that aren't there anymore. And so imagine if your daughter wasn't there, God forbid, I mean, you'd never have these opportunities to say that. So before it's too late, and with God's love and guidance and urging, go talk to your daughter if you have a broken relationship with her. Go apologize if you've done something, and listen with your heart.
And listen. So speak with her and then listen. That's that, Alan, is so important for everybody's relationship. Speak and then listen. In the little bit of time we have left, talk about a little bit about also, so people can learn as much from you today until we talk again as possible. Why wrap these two together? Why it's important to know your daughter's friends and how you can do that. And especially the things that the three things you must know about dealing with your daughter's boyfriend. So first, their friends, why you need to know them and how you can do that, and boyfriends.
Well, I'm not going to give away all the secrets in the book, but I'll tell you the one thing that I say is my daughter's boyfriend, he has to know that I can crush a coconut with my hands. That's the number one most important thing. He has to know that his head is softer than a, no, I'm just kidding. I feel like the nicer that I've ever been to any boys my daughters have brought home, you know, or to dinner, the nicer I am, the more intimidated they are, which is the strangest thing because, you know, my friends are all like, oh, you're going to be cleaning your shotgun and wearing your tank top when they come by. And I'm like, no, why would I do that? They're human beings. They need to know that they're welcome in my home. The same with my daughter's friends. You want your daughter's friends at your home as much as possible, because you want to know the kind of people she's hanging around. There's a phrase I use with my kids, and they always laugh because they always say, Dad, you have 1,000 sayings, you know? They mean something. So I'm like, shut up, just listen to my sayings and do what I say. So one of the sayings is, eagles fly with eagles and turkeys flock with turkeys. So you never see a turkey flying up there with an eagle, never see an eagle pecking on the ground with a turkey. So I always say, which one are you? Are you an eagle or are you a turkey? Because a couple of the people I see you hanging around with seem like turkeys to me. So that's something that I want you to make a judgment call on. I mean, be honest with yourself. Just because you like a person doesn't mean that you need to have an intimate, close, you know, tell-all relationship with this person, you know, because your teachers see you hanging around with somebody that, you know, is known for not doing the right things, and they're going to think you're the same way. And honestly, why would you hang around them if you're opposite of them? You know, you don't tell them what to hang around. These are just like parent to parent kind of tips. But for your kids, you know, you want to ask questions just like Jesus did. Jesus asked a lot of questions, you know.
Yes, he did.
So who do you say I am? You know, I mean, he brought it out of them. So like I tried to use that same leadership technique with my daughters.
Well, Alan, you do such a good job, as you said earlier, when you're in that supermarket shopping line and instead of turning the magazines around, you know, the girls see it, especially growing up, but you ask them, well, let's talk about that. What do you think about that? That's so good to do, that exchange, and then you listen to them. It shows them the respect you have for them.